are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Thursday, April the 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. Now, normally on Thursdays, it's a rumination day where we often will bring in Wes Reimnitz. Unfortunately, he's on assignment, and so therefore he won't be with us today. We are going to be talking about an article that appeared in the Post-Dispatch, that's a St. Louis paper, how the campaign for gay marriage was won. But before I do that, I do want to talk just a little bit more about yesterday's conversation, namely a Lutheran understanding of what was happening in Baltimore. I made a comment, and I would like to expand on that. In the view of secularists, those people who do not follow God's will in regard to interpreting reality, they would believe that man is basically good. But I pointed out that according to the Bible, man is basically evil. Now, as soon as you hear the word evil, you're going to think that I'm talking about works done by a criminal. But that's not necessarily true at all. In fact, at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet on Tuesdays, and we certainly appreciate more coming to the Bible study who are not members of Emmanuel Olivet. It's at 11 a.m., and we were talking about that a mortal sin is not necessarily a sin of criminality. And a venial sin is not necessarily a sin that is sinless. So what are we talking about? Mortal and venial in the Roman Catholic Church normally meant a sin that was almost unforgivable. That was a mortal sin. And for a while, they would not forgive murder or adultery. They do now with much penance. But Lutheranism has a totally different understanding. In contrast to mortal, which is unforgivable, we believe any good work that is a sin is mortal if there is no repentance. And a venial sin, which Roman Catholicism thinks is just a lesser sin that wouldn't send you to hell, in Lutheran circles, a venial sin is any sin that is repentant. So, this may sound really strange, but someone working at a White Castle may be doing a good work in delivering the White Castles properly, but they are committing mortal sin if they are an unbeliever. Why? Because God measures a sin, not in the sense of what it is doing, but in the sense of its motivation. And that's the point I wanted to make yesterday. Every unbeliever may do a good work, but it is always a mortal sin, because it is done out of self-interest. In other words, God will reward good works by unbelievers in the secular realm, in the temporal realm. Pay your taxes, you won't have the government calling you. But in the spiritual realm, it doesn't matter if an unbeliever pays his taxes. It's still not a good work because he's doing it out of, and here comes the motivation, self-interest. Now, what I wanted to do is bring in a word from Scripture to back that up. And I'm doing it with Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Listen to what Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look out not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then, of course, his background, of course, is pointing to Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not think it something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. And that death on the cross was for you. Jesus did nothing out of self-interest. He did everything out of your interest. And that's how a Christian is to operate. Now, the Christian never is able to perfectly do something out of the interest of others, because we have an old Adam. And insofar as the old Adam still exists, then whatever good work we do, even though the new man may be doing it out of love for Jesus, the old man is doing it out of self-interest. I've used this example a couple of times. For example, you've got an individual who's walking down the street and sees a lady drop her groceries. Now, he's a Christian, so he stops and helps her pick up her groceries out of love for Jesus. But then he looks up and down the street to see whether or not his members are going by to see what a wonderful pastor he is. By the way, you can phone at this time if you're interested in talking about this subject or the next one on how the campaign for gay marriage was won. In St. Louis, it's 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. So when I say that people are basically evil, I'm not saying they're basically criminal. I'm saying that their motivation is always evil because it's out of self-interest. That's what the devil wants us to do. Jesus came not just to save those of us who are better than others, because none of us are. He came to save the whole world by forgiving their sins on the cross. And that's really, really critical to understand this. So, if you have a view that people are basically good and they just have to vent off steam, then I'll tell you, the police won't be doing their job, because they think that if the police step in, it's going to cause even more problems. And then they'll, I mean, wasn't it the police commissioner who even made the comment that we didn't go after the people who were tearing apart the stores because they were only 14, 15, 16-year-old? I gave an example yesterday of me being robbed by kids who were under 16, and they had a gun. That kind of attitude, you really want to be in a city like that where the police aren't going to go after crooks just because of their age? So this is a understanding, a philosophy of reality that is contrary to God's word, contrary to the Bible. There was even an occasion when God permitted bears to kill younger people than 14 years old when they were making fun of the prophet. So when Romans 13 says that the government doesn't hold the sword in vain, it means they're going to be using it for opportunities to keep the peace. And yesterday there were reports that not only were the police told to stand down, but they weren't even allowed to put on their riot gear, which sent 20 of them having injuries, a number of them to the hospital, and I understand still one is in the hospital. See, unfortunately, officials operate on the basis of their philosophy. And I'm not going to say it's on the basis of their religion, because the only religion I consider to be appropriate is Christianity. And clearly, when you don't realize the evil that is within people. Psychology Today, and this was a number of years ago, did an experiment. What they had is normal people. They were trying to show how normal soldiers in Germany could become Nazis, putting people in ovens. And the way they did that was kind of interesting. They had an individual behind a glass screen, and it looked like he was hooked up to electrical wires. And then they had somebody sit down and say, okay, now push that up and you will cause them pain. And most people didn't do it at all, because they didn't want to cause anybody pain on the other side of the glass. Now, in reality, the person who was on the other side of the glass and he was tied up in a chair, he could see the meter when they were pushing it up, and he pretended he was in pain. There was no pain really occurring, but of course the people doing it didn't know that. So hardly anybody did it. But then the person that was telling them to do it was dressed in a doctor's smock. He looked like a doctor. And he said, well, we're doing some experiments to help this individual. And you wouldn't believe how many people would push up that electrical current until it looked like the person on the other side was just screaming his head off. And they kept doing it because there was somebody in authority telling them to do so. I've always said anybody can be forced to do anything, especially apart from Christ, because they're working on the basis of self-interest. They want to look good to those who are in authority. So, in contrast to that kind of thinking, you have Christianity that is to look out for the interests of others. And I really like this one phrase, that in humility, you consider others more significant than yourself. That's really hard to do. That's impossible to do for an unbeliever. Even when unbelievers really take good care of their children, watching out for them, their main reason is out of self-interest from God's point of view, because there's only one other motivation, and that is out of love for Christ. And therefore, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, it's impossible to have that motivation. So we Christians have a different view of human beings. We go to them recognizing that by nature they're evil. It's called original sin. That's what they were born with, having received that from Adam and Eve. But not evil in the sense that they're all criminals, but evil in the sense that person does any good work out of self-interest. And to move them over to Christianity provides them with the gift of the Holy Spirit, who can begin to get them doing not good works, but fruit of the Holy Spirit. And those are actions, words, or even thoughts where the interests of others become more important than your own. And that is because of the love of Christ within us. So that was just a little bit of explanation that I wanted to give yesterday. Today, we're talking about an article that appeared in the Post-Dispatch, written by a gay individual, and he talks about how the campaign for gay marriage was won. Now, as I read through the article, he, of course, thinks that the Supreme Court, he says, is widely expected to establish a constitutional right for gays and lesbians to marry in all 50 states. I'm not really sure that's going to be true. Yesterday, Supreme Court Justice Kennedy said, why would we be changing something that's been in place for a millennial? And Issues Etc. have had some very good discussions on this, talking about one expert in the area thought that maybe the best we could look to is that the individual states would be able to make up their own decisions rather than some federal government telling that. So we'll just have to wait and see. We'll get into the article in a moment, but we do have a call from... hi, Mike, how you doing?
How you doing today?
No, I asked you how you were doing.
Oh, I'm doing good.
Oh, good. All right, how can I help you?
Good, I have a question. I need some of your theological expertise to answer this.
Well, you'll probably want to wait till a Bible study then. You want to ask me?
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, you're the head, well, kind of the head, not the head man, but you're up there. My question is, if you die with a mortal sin on your soul, do you go straight to hell?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I want to know. Thanks.
Yeah, but are you a Christian?
Well, I don't like to identify with that term because it's so general. You know, I consider myself a Bible-believing...
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you believe in Jesus?
I believe he lived, sure. I believe he lives now.
Do you believe that he died for your sins?
Well, I consider that overgeneralized, but yes, I do believe that.
Okay, then you have no mortal sin. So you're going to heaven.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Thanks.
Well, sure, it's good to know, and that's why you phone KFUO in order to get comforted. This is the main reason why KFUO exists, is to comfort you with good news. You see, most of us, and I really agree with Mike on this, come with the understanding that we think we have mortal sin. And therefore, when he asks your question, boy, is somebody with mortal sin, is he going to go to hell? Well, absolutely. But you see, mortal sin is unrepentant sin. The Christian has no unrepentant sin. What are you talking about? Well, what if there's a sin that you don't know about and you don't repent of it? Oh, no. Have you never said the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven? What do you say in that prayer? Forgive us our sins. So, does God do it or not? Of course he does. There's no necessity to remember, recall, and individually repent of every sin you do. And I'll tell you why. Because the vast majority of your sins you are unaware of. They're called sins of omission, where God wanted you to do something, say something, think something, and you didn't. But you were unaware that you were unable to do that. So that sin also is taken care of because you're wearing the robe of righteousness. So we want to make really clear here, a mortal sin isn't a bad sin. Every sin is bad if there's unrepentance. That's what makes it mortal. But for the Christian, all mortal sins have become venial in the sense that they no longer keep you from going to heaven because they are forgiven in the blood of the Lamb. That is really, really important. If you like to call in, numbers in the St. Louis area are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak to Larry. Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
Mr. Baker, good morning.
Good morning.
Question. Many Christians don't feel like they're, when they speak, that they have the comfort that they know they're going to heaven instead of adding all these little caveats. The doctrine of election is simply states to make sure your election is true and it's going to offer you comfort. You simply need to stay in the sacrament of Holy Communion and in the Word. You stay in the Word, God will keep you in his fold, and you don't have to worry about all this other minutia. Is this correct?
It is absolutely correct. Because you are unaware of something doesn't mean that you are not receiving the gifts. For example, when I was growing up, and you were too, Larry, did you ever get punished by your parents?
Yes.
Yes, we all did. And at that point, I was saying, boy, I wonder if they really love me. So I was ignorant at that point as to whether they loved me or I was a member of the family. But did they love me and you, and were we members of the family?
Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter what your thinking is if God has made a promise. Remember what the goal of every sermon and Bible study is to get your head to catch up with your heart.
There you go. All right, thank you.
And thank you very much for calling. Anybody else can call. The numbers are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Now, the reason I'm bringing up this article, How the Campaign for Gay Marriage Was Won, even though there's still a question as to whether or not the Supreme Court will establish a constitutional right for marriage for gay couples, I mean, it'll be as disastrous as they did with abortion. They established a constitutional right, but in time, the states were given the authority to put parameters on that. So, for example, in a number of states, you can't do an abortion if the child is over such an age within the womb. Now, the question is that when this particular writer was younger, he never thought he could ever get married. But today, 37 states allow gay marriage. So he said, how did we come so far so fast? And he starts off, first, we were smart. Our strategy was to secure marriage rights in as many states as possible before the Supreme Court had to decide the issue, and that has worked. But as you go through the article, you'll find that it really wasn't on the basis of people voting for gay marriage. It was judges who thought that it was a constitutional right. And so they would make a judicial decision, even though it was contrary to the votes that occurred in that state. And then liberal legislators would go ahead and make it permanent. And so there were some victories in the ballot box, but not that many. So it was primarily due to judicial activism. I remember I was in Saskatchewan doing a four-day seminar for pastors when gay marriage was made legal. And nobody I talked to in Saskatchewan were for it. Well, how did that come about? Because the Supreme Court of Canada simply decided that it was a constitutional right for gays to marry, even though the vast majority of people opposed it. And the same thing is happening here. And I don't think people who get married and are gay realize the consequences of their action, because any true Christian will never recognize them as married in the eyes of God, because that is an abomination. And so it really doesn't matter. And the writer makes a very good point. He says, winning gay marriage wasn't about getting people to change their minds. After all, it was about getting them to open their hearts. So there are people who change their minds on abortion because it's legal, but I haven't met very many Christians who have opened their hearts to the point where they think it's okay to put a baby to death simply because the woman doesn't want to be bothered because she's got a job or some other thing. I tell you, you're never going to win the hearts of true Christians. And that's why we're going to be talking about how one political candidate is saying that what we need to do is change religious beliefs. People have to change their religion in order to stay in the United States of America. We're not going to talk about that today. I actually have the quotes, and I'm going to be playing in the future some audio about that. Now you're going to say, well, wait a minute, isn't that getting politics mixed up with religion? No. When religion is being attacked, can you imagine that you lived in Saudi Arabia, and if they found that you converted to Christianity or that you were preaching Christ to other people, you were put in jail? You see, our soldiers aren't even allowed to give out Bibles in Saudi Arabia. You want that kind of a country here? No. And that's because, fortunately, even in Hitler's Germany, there were a few pastors, Lutheran among them, who were speaking out against what the Nazis were doing. But they weren't sufficient in order to change the direction. In fact, many of the concentration camps were secret. People were unaware of them. So while we basically concentrate on theological truths here at KFUO, the cultural changes that are occurring, we need to continue to equip you with, when you're having a friend of yours who's gay, how to share with him how that is contrary to the will of God. And we need to do it in a way that is patient and kind, much like Jesus did with a Samaritan woman at the well. He makes another point that there is a case for gay marriage because it fosters social cohesion, emotional security, and economic prudence. Well, I don't know if he's ever heard of Bishop Robinson. He was a bishop of the Episcopalian Church. He was married to a woman, had two children, divorced her so that he could marry a man. And later on, he divorced him also. This idea of fostering social cohesion and emotional security. And remember, gay parents are telling their gay children that they can be gay. I mean, this is offending little children, telling them that which is contrary to the will of God. This is child abuse of the highest level, because if a child gets involved, and we'll get back to mortal sin in the gay community, and has no repentance, then there is a possibility that hell is his destination. What kind of love of children is that? So, we Christians really have our work cut out for us in the future. But we're never alone. Christ is with us. And yes, even though there are countries elsewhere where you're taking your life in your hands, I work for Concordia Mission Society, and our missionaries in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have come under attack, and definitely there are people there who speak out against them all the time. Well, we're just still very fortunate here in the United States. We don't have those physical attacks. We simply have words attacking us. But we need to stay strong and still speak the word of God so that those who are ignorant of God's will may come to a knowledge of it, repent of their sins, and come to the light. And that will be all done by the Holy Spirit working through you. Working through you? Yes. As Larry said so well, we need to keep people in word and sacrament. Because as they hear the word of God, and particularly as they receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, they are emboldened to repent of all of their sins and share the message with those who have such a need to hear it. No one of us are better than any other. And that's why Jesus has come to die for us all. And why the good news to Mike today was he has no mortal sin. I'm Tom Baker. Open mic Friday tomorrow to take more of your calls. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.